Walk your tea.
I'm good. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Are these forms?
I would expect you to give everything. Listen, I have two questions. One, am I getting CLE credit? That's what I wanted.
That's it.
Are we getting CLE credit?
Do you have to fly really far?
I applied for it.
You have to fly?
Yes, but I already sent in an application.
Okay.
Listen, we're very makeable here. We're very makeable.
Who's that?
Is it Ben? Who's this?
That's mine.
That's yours. I don't know whether you left that up.
Oh, thank you. What you have in front of you is the... is a Shtar Chatzi Zohar. What you have in front of you is an English form that was can be found on the website of the Bethan of America, and it's Rabbi Willig's Shtar Chatzi Zohar, that when it is appended to a American legally drafted will, fixes up the American will to be conforming with halacha to the best of our ability. That's what I want to focus on today. What is this Shtar Chatzi Zohar? If you have a look at source number one, the Shtar Chatzi Zohar began and was recorded already by the Ramah. The Ramah, and in the middle of Hilchas Nachalas, in the middle of the halachas of Yerusha, the Ramah quotes that Masha Nog, and there already was a practice, Lechtov Shtar Chov Lebito, that a person writes a debt, a note of obligation, a note of debt to one's daughter. Right? What was the purpose of this? Alpidin, when a person is nifter, so if there are boys, the Yerusha goes to the boys. The women do not get Yerusha. There are various halachos as to if we would follow the strict halacha of the Din Deiraisa, the Parsha in Matei, so we would know that only the boys, only the sons are eligible for Yerusha. The Bechor gets an extra portion. Midin Derabbanan, one's wife gets a choice if she wants to get the ksuva, which nowadays would be about, according to some, $30,000, and or she could choose to get support in Meves from Shana, and one's daughters would get a small fraction of the estate. Ever since the time of the Ramah, this was not seen as a good situation that one's daughters do not get a significant amount of the Yerusha. And it was seen that this could cause a lot of aggravation amongst one's children. So going back already to this is already a minute in the time of the Ramah, so it must have gone back easily to the 1500s. So they figured what they would do is how are they going to give a significant amount of the estate to one's daughters? After all, the Torah has Halachos Yerusha. And the halachas of Yerusha are Yeredeitik halachas. What does that mean? It means they're not Choshen Mishpat. They're not governed by the rules of Choshen Mishpat. The rules of Choshen Mishpat are that if I have money, I have control over my money. I can sell my funds. I can buy more funds. I can determine to where they go. And when it comes to Yerusha, the Torah told us how one's estate gets divvied out. The Torah didn't give us a choice if we want to give a second cousin, a third cousin. If a person wants to give everything to his parents, the person wants to give wants to favor one child of another child, the Torah says the Bechor gets an extra portion, and all of the boys get Yerusha. Alright, then Chazal made certain takonas later on. However, a person does not have the ability to organize that. I don't have the ability to determine what's called Bosa B'cholov. It's also part of Yeredeya. I don't have the ability to determine what a mezuzah is. I don't have the ability to determine how one divvies out one's estate. That the Torah was Keveya. There are certain halachos that have an impact, and we'll go through some of them later on. But overall, that's the goal of the Shtar Chatzi Zohar. In the time of the Ramah, they already were concerned that a daughter would be disenfranchised. It would cause a lot of machlekes amongst the sons and the sons-in-laws, that the sons got a good part of the Yerusha, and the sons-in-law didn't get a significant part of the Yerusha, so it would cause aggravation in the family. So they already figured out, this is what we're going to do. There is a halacha that before we divvy up the estate, we have to take care of all the obligations of the estate. A person leaves a debt, so he has to take care of the debt. So and the estate doesn't divide up. Doesn't get divided up until all the debts are taken care of. So what the Rambam had already established is that a person establishes a debt to one's daughter. While he's alive, he establishes a debt. Lichtov shtar chov lebito. He writes a debt to his daughter. Ula hastos, and then makes a condition. She'im yitein lebito chelek chatzi zocher. At that time, they will only give the daughter half of what the boys got. The bechor got double, and the daughter's got half. In modern times, the post can write that we should give daughters an equal amount together with the boys. So chelek chatzi zocher yiftor min achov. Person creates a debt to his daughter, and then he writes to, and he in the debt, it's a conditional debt. If the boys give the daughter a half of their portions, so then the debt is voided. If they don't give a half of their portion, then they're going to have to pay out the debt before they get their part of the Yerusha. So the father figures out that he makes it advantageous to the boys to give a part of their get a part of their estate over the daughter. He has to work out the numbers. It's not so easy to work out the numbers. He has to create, the way we do it nowadays, is we create a debt to the daughter or a debt to the wife which is far exceeds the total of the estate, so that it's in the interest of all the members of all the heirs to pay out the to recognize the will that's been written, and therefore not have to pay out the debt from the estate. So that's what the Rambam already began. Sorach li ten lo v'chol ashaloi the ikir v'chov. So then the children are going to have to give the debt to the daughter. V'lachin sorach lekayim tenoi o yishal mochoi v'chein aminog. This was the custom. The Gesher Chaim writes. Gesher Chaim was Yerushalmi Gadol. Of Tukatinsky. He wrote the 3-volume Sefer Avelos. He was the one who really was Koveya, the Minhogim of Avelos in recent times, until the Pnei Baruch, the art school, recorded all the other Minhogim so that everything unraveled. But he had a tight hold in Hilchas Avelos for several decades. And Yerushalayim, they still follow the Gesher Chaim. So he writes that one should follow this approach of the Ramah. He writes there was one Yerushalmi Talmud Chacham who said, no, he's going to follow the halacha. He's not going to go for this dray of the Ramah and create. He's going to follow the halacha. He's going to write, and he's going to make sure that his boys get the Yerusha, the girls get nothing, the Bechor gets double. And the Gesher Chaim writes, and that family was racked with machlokes for generations afterward. Sometimes some person wants to be chacham, he's going to go against the Minhag Yisrael and go with the Shuras HaDin. Not a smart thing. If we already have from the time of the Ramah an approach that says in this area of halacha we have developed an approach which is halakhically acceptable, even though it doesn't seem to follow what's written in Chumash. So that we would start making innovations like this, so we get into a lot of trouble. But we're standing on the Ramah. The Ramah already said that was the Minhag. So that's what you have in front of you is an updated version that Rabbi Willig crafted based on this Ramah. Adi undersigned, hereby obligate myself to, and then when either puts one's daughter or one's wife, the sum of, and when chooses an amount which is larger than the estate, effective immediately but not payable until 1 minute before one's death, because one does not want to be sued by one's daughter for the chov. So one makes the chov valid the moment before one is nifter, and it's on the condition that he doesn't retract this obligation any time prior to his death, and all the property which is mine at that time, both real and personal, serve as security for the payment of the said obligation. And then we make the Tanai, stipulate that the heirs, as defined by the Torah, shall be given the option of paying the above obligation, and or of carrying out the requirements of the will. So that's that is the way that a person can sit down with his lawyer, many of which are at the table, can sit down with his lawyer and figure out how to write a will which is which will be respected by the American courts, right? But that will be against halacha, right? Because that will probably say that he wants to give his daughter equal amounts. That will probably say that he wants his wife, should he be nifter before his wife, he would want his wife to get everything. And then his wife will work out a shtar chatzi zoch of some sort. So the will that he writes will be against the din. Having a will which is against the din is huge problems. Number one, according to Ramban, when it violates an iser deraisa, according to the Ramban, executing the Sidra Yerush of the Torah, that's a mitzvah deraisa. According to Rambam, it's a mitzvah deraisa, but according to Ramban, it's a mitzvah deraisa to execute the one's Yerusha properly. Then number two is that if one simply allows the legal will to take place, so then what's going to happen is that one's children are could easily be liable of an Iser Gezel. Because what's going to happen? The will says that all the girls get... They're still here. This is very impressive. the will says that his daughters and sons-in-law get an equal portion. Who gave him an equal portion? Who gave it to them? The Torah said that when this person died, right, he has no ability. He's dead. He can't decide who gets what. He's done. Right? So when Reuven died, his sons became heirs, his daughters did not become heirs. Now, if they go through the courts, and 2 or 3 years later, the girls get get money from the estate, it's not their money. They have to give it back to their brothers. It doesn't belong to them. It's Gezel. So if one simply follows the rules of the secular legal will, so then one is giving one's kids a big problem, right? That if everybody's peaceful and everything's wonderful, so then the boys will say, we're mocked the money to the girls. The kids will say, we're mocked the money to the wife. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, they should do that. That's a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. When a parent leaves a will, he's telling them what his covenant is. They should leave it over, all right? So, but if things are not so peaceful, or if there is a big yetzer hara, that if it's a significant amount of money, and when it comes to Yerushas, often people fight over very small amounts of money. So then it becomes, and if one is not, one of the siblings isn't so excited about following the halacha mamish kilchasa, so then, when a person writes a will, they're going to end up being machshel one of their children into an iser gezel, an iser of a theft. It comes up every so often that an almona will divide up some of the possessions of her late husband, not realizing that the Torah divided them up already. And she doesn't have the right to divide them up. She has to get consent of all the heirs. So that's the reason why one should write a shtar chatzi zocher. Now, a shtar chatzi zocher is not a perfect document, as we'll point out, and as many lawyers will point out. It's not a perfect situation. There are numerous problems, right? But what I'm suggesting it is the best tool we have to work with so far, all right? And we'll explain the benefits, and we'll explain some of the disadvantages as well. But the benefits of writing a will altogether, right? Why should we write a will altogether? Because number one, that the Rachmana Litzlan, there should be a situation where there has to be a determination of who takes care of the children. So that, first, the parents want to have a say of that. We don't want the government to have to determine that. Right? So that's number one. There's a value in having a will because of that, for that prat alone. Number two, that without the will, so I understand that there are legal ramifications that are not beneficial for the estate. So it's better from a tax perspective to have a will. But once one writes the will, so then if one does not deal with it al pidin, so then again one would be in violation of the Ramban's idea of executing the will properly. So one could say, well, the government's doing that. He's not doing that. All right, that's a possibility. If one writes a will that as one would want to write, to give all the children an equal amount, to take care of one's wife, that could be against the halacha, and then one could end up causing that one's kids will be in violation of the Iser of Gezel, and without a will, one could cause a lot of rife and difficulty amongst the children. So that's why there is a great toeles to a great purpose in writing a will. And then the question is, how do we make, is it a problem of a tiftach pelu satan to write a will? So I would suggest there is a sefer called the sefer Mishmeres Chayim Brachim Mishmeres Shalom. That's a sefer Navelos that was a very popular sefer until the Geshur Chaim, probably. It's found at the back of the third chelik of Yeridaya. So there he says the minhag was to start writing wills at the age of 50. Right, that's when that's already at that point it's not considered to be a pischin pelu satan. I would say that nowadays things have changed. Number one, because of the concern, God forbid, if the kids have to be settled someplace. And number two, because if you buy life insurance before the age of 50, so one have it savah before the age of 50, right? Whatever, if one's worried about the sultan, so then one wouldn't buy life insurance. So if our minhag is to buy life insurance, then we should probably have a will also done earlier as well. Is the halachic will absolutely necessary? Right? Is it as black and white as I'm describing? The answer is no, it's not as black and white. And that really makes it more confusing. There is, I pointed out, and source number Dalit, that there is a tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein, a fantastic chiddush. And it's one of Rav Moshe's tshuvas that would have been said by anybody less than Rav Moshe, so it would not be taken very seriously. But because of the tremendously imposing stature of Rav Moshe Feinstein in the positions that he took, so it's something that everybody has to deal with, and that certainly, would there ever be a din Torah about a will, I have no doubt that a dayanim would take Rav Moshe Feinstein extremely seriously. Again, would it be a lesser posek, so the dayanim would probably not take him seriously, because it's a fantastic chiddush. Rav Moshe's chiddush is that a legal, American legal will is binding. Al pi din. Right? In other words, everything I said until now, incorrect. Rav Moshe would be giving the shir, and we have wrapped it up already, and Yonah's waiting on the Lower East Side. Right? He would have said, it's not a problem that a person can sign an American legal will with his lawyer, and al pi din, he has executed his obligations, there is no problem of a gezel later on. Rav Moshe's fantastic chiddush comes from the following svara. He says, he has a raya for it. He says that why is it that the American will should not work al pi din? Because the American will is effective when a person dies. Once a person dies, he can't divvy up his God did it already. Once a person died, the moment that he left this world, the Shvarach already determined which kids get what. All right. Now, the lawyers come and they have a will that said that this person, upon death, wanted to give his children and his daughters. Upon death, he can't do anything. It's finished. You can't make kinyanim after one dies, right? So the only thing you do after one's dead is when you get zechuyas from one's from people saying the Vitorah in his honor, from people saying Kaddish, from people davening, but you can't make kinyanim. So person died. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the property to the boys, and if the girl comes, she says, "But the father gave it to me also. He wrote in the will. Sorry, he wrote in the will that after he's dead, he's going to give you. He's giving you property. You can't do that anymore." Rav Moshe says no. Rav Moshe says that the reason why can't a person make kinyanim after he died, right? Because he can't physically make kinyanim, right? But the purpose of a kinyan is that a person's will should be absolutely followed through, right? If I just say I want to sell a piece of property to Reuven, that's not valid as far as halacha. If I say very, very much want to, it's not binding. Well, no basis, no respect. I'll repeat myself 20 times, 30 times. Basis, don't say sorry and make one kinyan. Now the Beis Din will recognize it. That's the way halacha goes. The same thing is true in all legal systems. In certain ways of transferring property, you don't follow the rules of transferring property, so it's an invalid transfer. You sign one document, it becomes a valid transfer. So Rav Moshe says the purpose of kinyonim is that we can be certain of the person's intent. Right? That's why you make kinyonim. So Rav Moshe says if a person writes a will with his lawyers, he paid for the will, he hired them, he worked it out, he spent hours working it out, he signed all the documents, we know his intent. So you don't need a kinyon afterward. So he dies and the kinyon's in place already. He's dead, he can't make a kinyon. He can't do what has to be done to tell us what he wants to happen. We know what he wants to happen. That's that he wrote a will. So Rav Moshe says, what's his raya? His raya is that there's a situation where if a woman comes into a second marriage and she has, she comes with children into the second marriage, then the Rabbanon give the boys of the second marriage rights to the estate of the second husband. How do these boys get rights into their stepfather's? So the Gemara says, Chazal did it to protect the woman, protect her family. Right? She's coming into a new family. How are they going to be protected? So the ksuva now includes the stepsons to some measure. So how did that happen? How did Chazal do this? So Rav Moshe says, because Chazal wanted to make sure that these people were protected. So therefore, Chazal instituted that this is going to be part of the way that we divvy up the estate of the second husband. So Rav Moshe says there's no kinyan. How do these boys get it? So Rav Moshe says, you see that when Chazal tell you this is the way it's got to be, so that becomes, I want to be compliant to Chazal, so my das is good enough, so the signing of an American will is as powerful as this, as establishing one's intent, and therefore Rav Moshe says that's why, in fact the lotion is, you have at the very bottom, is that Tam Godo. He writes, Tzorech Lomer Dover Chodosh. So he writes, "V'zeh tam godu l'mashe ba'aretz hazos." In America, nogim l'smoch al tzavos ke'elu. That is why, in his time, people use and are somech on wills. V'ein choishem elikach hamoyis l'tzdaka. And he said, "That's an amazing thing." He says that you'll have yeshivas that are mentioned inside the will, and they'll take the money from the will. It's an amazing thing. How could a yeshiva take the money from the will? It's a gezel. It doesn't belong to them. How could a moyset of tzdaka? How could they take the money that was said in the will? It was an American will. So how could it be, right? So we know it could be, but Moshe said so it must be that they all understood this unusual chinush that an American legal will is binding even without a shtachat zizachar. V'imloi kinachtu lezim yikol mokim kivnu emes. And even if they didn't, the Ramesh Tzidkus, even if they didn't spell it out the way I spelled it out, right? Even they didn't figure it out exactly, but Kolmokim Kivno, they figured out the MS, because Klal Yisrael is such a high level that we figure out even if it's not fully spelled out. So that was Ramesh's big kiddush of Chaim Oizer.
So it sounds like what you're saying, just like the Shtarzach Chazizacha, you do the kingdom far in advance and it's a moment before you.
Yeah.
But Moshe is saying a will do the same thing, and it'll be the king is done in advance, and the it's chal a minute after.
Yeah, so the major difference is, the major issue is that a person cannot make kinyanim on things he doesn't have. Right, so you sit down with your lawyer when you're 36 and you write a will then, and you make kinyanim, you can at that point give anything you want to any kid, which will be effective later on, but only the things that you already have. Now a person lives 120, and he earns a lot more money, hopefully. So how does that money get divided? Where's the kinyan in that? The shtar chatzi zocher creates a chov. I'm creating the chov right now. So then halacha says everything which is bound to this, any property you have, has to pay the chov. That's how it gets continuously. Hold on 1 second. Just to point out, Rav Chaim Oizer has a similar approach to Rav Moshe. Right now, what Rav Moshe's Chiddush effectively does is it practically creates more confusion. Why? Because Rav Moshe's Chiddush is the odd man out. there's hardly any other posik that follows this. It goes against everything we learned since we're children. You can't make kinyanim after one's dead. He says, no, if we know your intent, the kinyan is chal after one's dead. If it wouldn't be Rav Moshe, it wouldn't be on the table in front of the dayanim. But now let's say the brother is assuming the sister. They go to a din Torah, and the brother said to the sister that the father only had an American legal. Well, they go to a din Torah, and they'll say to the dayanim, she's stealing our Yerusha. He didn't write a shtar chazi zocher. She has no right to this. So the dayanim will say, it's not so poshut. Rav Moshe said that she's a tzedekah. She gets all the money. Look, all the voices of chinuch that took money from you. So we're going to unravel all of those donations. So now, according to many, many poskim, she's a ganav. According to Rav Moshe, she's a tzedekah. So it's not bad. Not a bad situation to be in. But you can fix the situation and make her a tzedekah according to all poskim. And she knows she got it fair and square if one follows the shtar chatzi zocher to the best of one's ability. Rav Chaim Moizer Grudzinski had a similar chiddush, a huge chiddush that had the same effect as Rav Moshe's chiddush. There is a din, we say, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. A person dead, we are responsible to do what the dead person wanted. And the halacha made it was koveya that we should follow through what the dead person wanted. So why isn't that the mafteach? Why doesn't that tell us how to do how to take care of a tzava? Because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis only applies to monies that were handed over to a third party. A person creates a trust, right, and says that the trust should be divided up in a certain way. That's good as far as Allah is concerned. I believe that it's done with a good lawyer. It'll be good as far as the American law is concerned. Set up a trust, put money into the trust, and then say this trust should be divided equally amongst all one's children. So that works. Why? Because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, the din, that we are obligated to follow the wishes of the dead person about money that he already put aside with a third party. In other words, just like Rav Moshe said that the will established for us the intent, the das of the dead person, so halacha, most poskim would say, not true, can't make kinyanim, but if a person before he died, if then he already gave the money away, and he put it, and he still, it's a revocable trust. He can access them whenever he wants. But he already made that motion of putting it into a trust, so then we will, and halacha allows one to do whatever one wants with that money. So Chaim Moshe said, maybe a will is the same effect as a trust. Right? Maybe, because by writing a will, one is saying, I'm giving everything over to the legal system to take care of. He's at a suffix. He writes, perhaps. But that's what I'm pointing out. The shtar chatzi zocher, the principle that I want to point out, is the shtar chatzi zocher is not a perfect document. There are questions about how to draft it. There are questions about is it the best way to do it. There are legal questions. There are things that can go wrong. So it's an imperfect situation, and perhaps we can work together to make it a better situation. The reason why the shtar chatzi zocher, though, is something that everybody should follow, is that is because without the shtar chatzi zocher, so one will want to write a will. One will want to follow the advice of the recent sages that tell us we should give significant amounts, perhaps I would suggest equal amounts to one's daughter. We want to follow that rule, and we want to make sure that, and it will be followed through. This is going to happen, so let's make it the best possible situation that will be followed through, so that everybody has their funds cleanly and completely, and in a way that can't be contested without any question of possible theft. Right? So now there are a few questions. Shlomo, go ahead.
The shtar chatzi zocher addresses the husband. Everybody here went to yeshiva knows that after kana isha, kana baila.
Yeah.
So how do you address a woman writing a will when nothing, she doesn't own anything halakha? My question number one, how does a woman write a will when she, Masha Kanisha, so from the Harayat, she owns nothing. And my question number two is, I would really like to know, halacha l'maisa, not theoretical, not Rav Moshe, not if we were on the Lower East Side, I'd like people to tell me what is Bezdin deciding today when such a problem comes in front of them. I'd like to hear Beis Din's decisions.
Yes, I don't know. I the system in America is such that I don't know if we have a... I'm not aware of any collection of Piske Din over here. How they're following through. I cannot answer that, right? I would assume that Beis Din would have to make a decision on whether they're accepting Rav Moshe's Chiddush or not. Right? And if I was a dying, I'd be very, very caught. A very, 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 very tough situation. Because generally speaking, when it comes to Choshen Mishpat, we use the principle of Kimli. That a person can come to Beis Din and say, I want to follow a position that has decent acceptance. This is Yeridei, it's not Choshen Mishpat. So it's I think I would be very, very stuck as to how to pass in a case if the brothers are in fact suing the sisters after Rav Moshe's and Rav Chaim Moshe's Safek.
She's a muchzek at that time.
She would already be a muchzekus probably.
Yes,
she's a muchzekus. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, that's saying very, very stuck to. Right now, the tool that a woman has to use is different, right? A tool that a woman has to use is slightly different because she's writing a tool should her husband predecease her.
No, she
predeceased her husband, right?
Now she has to write a will. She doesn't own anything.
So what's going to, let's follow through, what's going to happen?
Husband gets everything, children get nothing.
Right, but if she...
That's the halacha, isn't it?
Yeah, but she second marriage situation.
Let's say, well, marriage. She wants to put it in trust, so she can circumvent
the second marriage situation. She wants the house from the first husband to go to her children.
Right.
And so, second husband says, everything is mine, your children get zero.
Well, that would be Nipsey Malouk, though. Would that be
Nipsey? No.
Tell me what she should do.
She'll
come into marriage with her.
Right. Again, I'm going to ask the same question.
There are two or three tshuvas by Rav Moshe on that where he doesn't follow this particular chiddush, and there the question is that a husband gets kol mashi konisha kanabayla applies as you indicated to real items, not to debts and to assets and to
house.
So they have to do. Which would, the ideal thing to happen in that case is that before the second marriage takes place, then the wife, then they negotiate how the property will be structured after they get married, right? And I said they have to do the prenup. If they didn't take care of the prenup, then if everything's b'shalom, then they have to restructure. The husband might have to restructure their assets before writing the shachat tizachar, which would happen anyways. Yeah, but that would be the way. If none of that took place, then it'll be a mess. There's no question. There'll be a din tyre.
So this will doesn't work at all for a woman.
This will work.
The husband can do this without the wife's. Whatever we discussed this morning, the husband can do without telling his wife. But the wife can never.
No, the wife will also. We have structured our assets in a way that is halachically acceptable. Right, a person signs on to the house, and he gives half his house to his wife. So that's respected. I'll be then. I can.
A debt, everything goes to the husband. Mashikadisha kanabayla, it bounces right back to him.
Not if she has no. If she has assets, which I've given my wife assets, right? I've let her hold on to certain assets. So then she has, then she can write a will to deal with those assets.
It's not hers.
It is. No. It is.
I give it right back.
No. It is hers. I've given it
joint
to her.
Joint will. Husband and wife and joint by tenants. Joint tenants with rights of survivorship. That's the usual deed.
Right.
Well, it's by definition.
By
law, it's that.
But that's, so that's... Let's...
So, up your halacha, it's zero. because Masha Kani Shekhanavai.
No, no, no,
no. What I'm saying is that you're putting it in her name. You're giving her a gift before
and
you
now, like the third person. And now I'll take, and now Masha Kani Shekhanavai.
No, 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 no. No. Masha Kani Shekhanavai is that marriage, that marriage. And ongoing, and ongoing. But if I negotiate, if I structure it otherwise, then she has it. I can structure it otherwise.
Structure it, okay. This is, the Shachat Zafir, does it have to be done with an attorney, or is it something that's just done?
That's one of the sticky points. All right, let's discuss one of the sticky points of the Shtar Chatzi Zocher. The text itself. There are several questions about the text itself. All right, for example, the last paragraph of the instructions. This obligation becomes effective when the form below is executed and delivered to the beneficiary or any other party who receives it on the beneficiary's behalf, even without the beneficiary's knowledge. All right, zochen adam shalei b'fanav. Right, this is entirely for the benefit of the daughter, so the daughter doesn't have to be aware of it. The question is there any how does this obligation become effective? Right, the two parts to your question. Number one is how does the obligation become effective? And number two, the second part is, how will this play itself out in a secular court? Right? So the first question is, how does it become effective? The way that this is written, it becomes effective by the testator, by the person writing the document, signs it. It becomes effective when he signs it and hands it over to a third party who now accepts it on behalf of the daughter. That's how it becomes effective. The questions about it becoming, and that would work. All right? Now, it says that the part of the document, it is accomplished by a kinyan suitor, by doing the handkerchief kinyan, and in front of a beis din. So now that raises certain questions. Should that be there or not? Right? You have to make some kinyan an obligation. So probably the best way to make the obligation valid is by signing the document and giving it over to a third party, and the shtar itself does the kinyan. That'd be ideal. What's the downside of that? If it's ever contested. If somebody ever says, if one of the kids ever says, you know what? One of the boys says, I don't think he ever did a shtar chatzi zocher. I'm going to go to Beis Din. And then they pull out a shtar. And the boy says,
okay.
How do you know that maybe was drawn up yesterday, 2 days ago? How it was done when he was alive? He begins to contest it. So you have no witnesses that say that it was given over to this third party. So you could have witnesses if one's afraid that the shtar chatzi zocher could be contested. It would be good to have witnesses that it was given over to the third party. That would sort of now. The way that it's recorded over here is they did a kinyan suitor. Now most people do not do the kinyan suitor. Why? Because al pidin, if I said that I'm obligating myself with the strength of a kinyan suitor, that's good enough. Some poskim say it's only good enough if the kinyan suitor took place. If I said I did a kinyan suitor, I didn't do the kinyan suitor, then that unravels it. So this can be contested according to some poskim. According to most poskim, it's valid as it is, and that's why it's left in a simple way. According to some poskim, you better do the kinyan suitor. Right, and you better find a base in Choshev, at least one that cannot be contested as a base in Choshev. Get three Choshev Rabbanim, or the alternative is to leave that paragraph out and to make it valid by handing it over. And if you're worried about a disgruntled child, so then do it in front of Adam. All right, that's what becomes valid. The next question is: Can the shtar chatzi zocher? And this is part of the imperfect system. Can the shtar chatzi zocher? How do you understand it in connection with the legal will? Right? Really, you wrote two documents that really say two separate things. I wrote one document that says I'm going to follow the American system and give over my property to in a certain way, and another document that says I'm creating a chov, which really wipes out the first document. The answer is that the way we would view it is the shtar chatzi zocher is the reigning document. Right, the legal will that I executed with the lawyers, those are the conditions of my shtar chatzi zachar. I created a debt to my daughter. And then I told my boys, there's another document that's filed away with the lawyer, and if you follow that document, you'll get something. If you don't follow the document, the daughter gets everything. So that becomes the conditions of my shtar. So the way the base and we'll look at it is that I have a document over here, and the conditions of the document are in a separate right now. The reverse. What happens if when it goes to a secular court? Yeah, and then here I'm defer to the lawyers at hand. It goes to the secular court. So if this document never shows up, all right. So it never shows up. As far as Allah is concerned, he's taken care of according to everybody. The secular court fulfills all the conditions of this document. Shalom aleichem. So everything's good. If you have somebody who contests it, right? L'moshel, let's say that the father gave away, I don't know, $50,000, $100,000 to a stalker. So one of the kids wants to say, $10,000 would have been nice, right? But we can make a chasana with the rest of the money. So, and then they want to unravel the will. So can they allow this to surface? And if this surfaces, will it have legal ramifications and tax ramifications? Right? Shlomo has a horror story of many years ago that somebody used the shtar chatzi zachar successfully in a court to claim that that his father was over a bottle when he wrote his will, because he obligated himself $5 million to his daughter. The man never saw $10,000. So if he's dreaming of a debt of $5 million to his daughter, obviously the man doesn't know what he's doing. So they were successfully unraveled the will based on the shtar chatzi zachar. So that have to defer to lawyers at hand. What would happen if this would surface? As far as halacha is concerned, never has to surface, right? What exposure does a person suffer if it does surface? So that's a question that has to be posed to the lawyers at hand. Would it have tax ramifications? That would be. That would eat away at the. Would it have legal ramifications? That would eat away at the estate. You can eat away at an estate by going to court, right? So that's a question that has to be posed to the lawyers at hand or to one's own lawyers as to, is there any exposure in terms of this document?
As far as the issue of the Beis Din Kosher, so one of the things that Rav Leib has done is we do two eidim in addition to the two eidim. So assuming that the lawyer is writing the things from. Now I have three people to make sure the two of them are not negayed but over. Would that satisfy the requirement for Beth and Koshin?
So that would be a contestable point.
So it would be the men to sign, not women.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Doesn't always happen. I mean,
right.
Well, but no, but that's what you just arranged.
No, and the Shtachat Zizachi you would do.
And so do you need the Shtachat Zizachi for everything?
No. Three?
Just with regards to the last point, instead of putting a dollar sum, the person put in like a very high percentage of the estate? Just say I obligate 60% of the estate to my daughter, unless you. And this way, you never get into problems of $5 million.
I don't know. With that, does that?
That's a problem.
Yeah, we have what are the lawyers at hand say? Is that
it's problematic? But it's problematic because then you contradict. See, that's contradicting the will.
Yeah.
That's a problem. That gets contested. Wait a second.
And I don't know.
You obligated me 60%. This is independent.
Yeah.
What?
Why isn't that? Why isn't that a halachic issue?
Right,
that's
a
brera. Hold on something you don't know.
Exactly. Oh, so the answer is the point was raised. The point was raised. Can a person create a will with percentages as opposed to hard and fast amounts? So the post can raise the question: is that a problem of brera? We don't know till you don't know what you're obligating yourself to. So the answer I would say is: but didn't the Rama do that? Right? Isn't how we begin? All we want to do is conform to the Ramah. So the Ramah's Shtar Chatzi, we're assuming the Ramah got it right. Right? So that's the basis of the Shtar Chatzi Zachar. Right? That we're following the Ramah's Minog. So he said that he's obligating himself, he's creating a Chov, Levito, Lasnosh, Imitain Levito, Chelek Chatzi Zachar. So the amount of the Chov has been determined, but who gets what is percentages. So the answer to the question is that when it comes to the chov itself, I don't know if one can create a chov which one does not know what that chov is. Right? Can one divide up the Yerusha in percentages So that seems to be that the did go along with it.
So it's illegal.
Right. Okay.
So it's illegal. Legally, when you say you're dividing up your estate in equal portions or by a pro rata basis.
Right, so we're saying about Bidin. So Bidin has to be good.
So we're saying that we're doing a 25-25, whatever it is. Right. That already is giving a percentage. A Sharkov can't have a percentage. I can't say that I'm obligating myself to...
Right.
What that means then is you have to update the...
Correct.
Zephyr every 5 or 10 years as your estate changes.
Or you pick a number.
Right.
Other than what Shlomo said.
The point is that has to be something that's...
No, but, no. But only according...
No, it's much more.
No, kid, that Neuberger said the problem was that they just...
Other than that one case. Other than that one case that exists, there's been nothing right now that's going. New Jersey doesn't do it. New York doesn't do it. West Virginia. There's one case last year in New York where it was challenged based on the Shachati Zohar in the court, and basically they settled beforehand because the appellate division said they didn't want to look at it so much. New Jersey would kick it out immediately. Other than the one case that Shlomo mentioned where they really took it all the way, so then in general...
But it was a forced settlement. You don't want a forced settlement.
Everything or nothing.
Right. So, but other than that, the Starkov you can do for 15 million, 20 million, whatever it is.
That's the point. The point was
that if it's something that it's still after that somebody did. In other words, we try not to do it to do $100 million. Right, but right now, we're just talking about what the tax implications are going to be. So, if a person has an estate that they figure is worth, the Yankee is much better at these numbers. But if it's something that's going to be somewhere like around $3 million or $4 million, right, that's what their estate generally is, including the house, the life insurance, and everything else. So, if you say, okay, it's EFSHA that possible with the market doing better, $10 million, $15 million, that's sort of somewhere within the ballpark. Right, if you start saying it's going to be $2 billion and there's no way in the world that you're ever going to have that, already might become problematic. That was the Rabbi Blatt's thought on the case that Shlomo mentioned. That instead of coming up with some ridiculous number that you're never possibly ever going to see, but it's very apture that the real estate that you had, well, not anymore, but the real estate, you use the example of the beach house, so that not anymore, but the beach house, right, but you know that.
Okay,
house,
good, good, good. Let's go. Go ahead.
You make yourself a phone book for the daughter, for example.
Right, due consideration. So that's a question in the American system. Can you create, that's will the Shtar Chatzizocher, again, if the Shtar Chatzizocher surfaces in American court, so can one create an obligation without due consideration? Right, so you're raising the question whether, if the Shtar Chatzizocher makes into an American court, will that be respected at all?
You can
create a chov. That's not a problem.
Even though she never did a chov.
You can create a chov. Yeah.
The other question I had is the third party say he gave it over. Is this a document or the actually have to keep hold of the cash that you want to buy?
In terms of shlish, the third party actually has to have some. Has to have access to the money.
People will be very nervous to give over to this third party all the money.
Well, if you make a trust, I believe you can make a trust.
Trust that's considered like a person.
Rav Shechter thought that trust is a good enough for a shlish.
I'll
yeah.
Be
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll be din.
But that means you got
a bank. A bank is good enough for a shlish. A bank would be good enough for
a Jewish guy. The third guy.
No, needn't be. It's my act of giving it partially of relinquishing some control. Sweet.
But can I just clarify? So, in the case of a person that has a wife and at least one daughter, you need to actually have two clauses of the shtar.
No. You just make it worthwhile that all the heirs would follow the deal.
What is it? Am I writing one line for the wife, the son of X, and one line for each daughter?
No.
The chatzizok has to be for two. The wife has a contesting issue, and the daughters have contesting issues. So the question is, do I need two chatzizokers, one for the wife?
I don't think so. You just make it worthwhile. You make it worthwhile for the boys to follow the rules. You want the boys to follow the rules.
This is not meant to be carried out. It's meant to get the boys to
You just want to make it worthwhile.
Give the daughter $10 million. They'll make sure the wife gets whatever she's supposed to get.
Right.
That be just do it with one daughter.
Just one
with
all. Right. Whatever.
Use the choose the most compliant daughter.
Yeah.
Use due consideration in choosing a daughter.
Right. Does he take the youngest daughter? Does he do something else completely?
Is it attached?
Correct. Correct. Okay, I believe so. I believe so. Yeah. Jonathan.
With regard to enforceability, I don't think that the courts would see this as an enforceable debt because what you said about there's no consideration on the other
right.
side. But it might be enforceable as a gift, but the rules of gift generally are that you have to have a donative intent. That so that, I think, is clear from the language here. But I think where it's kind of schlubbed up is that you also have to have an actual delivery of a gift in order for it to be enforceable.
This document is not designed to be enforceable in an American system. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
But you're looking at this document to make sure that the boys agree to abide by the American system.
Correct.
So you're saying that generally you wouldn't want, even though it's not attached to. That you would want this attached to a regular will, they shouldn't be stored together.
I would suggest not be stored together. No. I don't see any reason why. I don't see any reason why you would. Why it has to be stored together.
As in the start, cut these off or
only. Right. In other words, if the kids,
it's attached.
Okay.
It's not presented. Because you present.
Right. The boys are gonna. If the boys.
She comes in. This is her receipt saying.
So who do you think is going to be holding this? The lawyer.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm just saying, let's be honest, I'm a lawyer, you don't always know who wrote what.
Yeah.
You know where the document is. If somebody dies, they move to a different state, who knows what's where.
Right, so what's, why do you have to know this? I mean, this
you need to have
how does the daughter know that
you don't know where it is?
You don't need it unless it's challenged.
But it's challenged. How does the daughter supposed to know this? The daughter has his office going around
because you want to make sure.
Not the daughter.
So either the lawyer can hold on to it, or the rabbi can hold on to it, or the daughter can hold on to it.
Listen, but
very hold on to it.
No, but very often when you write the will, it says with the lawyer who wrote the will. The stamp is all over the place.
Yeah.
So then you get a phone call later on that may have asked him that says, we saw that you wrote this will.
Okay.
Is there anything we need to know about?
So this is based on the Rambam, right?
Yeah.
What does Sephardim do? Do they pass him like this as well?
I believe so.
Do they
What was that? It's all cash anyways. What's the problem?
instead of this star, could somebody structure an American will that takes effect a second before you pass away, so that all your property gets divvied up before you die?
Big problem.
Be a living trust.
The living trust is a problem.
Legally,
you have taxes.
From a halachic standpoint, would that work?
The problem with Al Pidin, the reason Al Pidin is that a person is making this arrangement when he's 30. From 30 to 120, he's going to earn lots of. He's going to maybe even change houses. So that means every year or two, he's going to have to make more kinyanim. He can only make a kinyan. Yeah, you can't be makna dovr shlomo le'olam. So I haven't earned my income from the next.
How can any will mark correctly, Mark? I mean, you typically write the will now. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think you're listing every single asset that you own. You're saying I'm dividing my property, whatever my assets are.
Right. So
my family.
So in American law, what happens is, right, that when a person dies, so now the will takes effect.
Right.
In Jewish law, when a person dies, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says what you should do. There is no.
But we have a concept in halacha where you say I want a document to be effective as of a certain time. You know, we only see that.
Right.
If I go on the boat and I make it to this land, you know.
Right. But it's all about things that I already have. I cannot make a document effective in the future about things that I have not gotten yet. I can take things that I have right now. A person is allowed to restructure Kadosh Baruch Hu's will to some extent. A person can give more to one boy than another boy. He's allowed to do that. However, those have to be done in very, very precise moments and So it's not an effective tool.
Yeah, but it's a huge tax problem. Because then it becomes a gift as opposed to a will. The will has a state, you know, there's certain things you get exemption on. You have a gift, $13,000 per year. If it's chal that year, the IRS could come and say, hey, $13,000 off the next $3 million would charge you 45%.
Yeah, you have a lifetime exemption too.
I did it, but I'm not so sure that situation would work. And then it becomes an IRS going after you.
Does the language of the will itself matter in terms of halacha? What I mean by that is often you'll see wills that use the language I give, devise, and bequeath. Now, give is different than devising and bequeathing, because devising and bequeathing are things that you're giving after death, which halacha doesn't realize. But if you just eliminate those two words and you put in the will, I give X to, you know, my family members, does that solve some issues at all?
No. Because again, what's the he gives as of when?
The rule says one
death. You're going to get messed up. You can only give what you got, and you can only give it before one dies. So it's okay. That's why it's not.
It's more like the give and take.
It sounds like what you're saying is that this Shtar Chasnitzacher is going to give us a halachically acceptable mechanism to allow the terms of the will to take place.
Exactly.
If it ever gets challenged, all bets are off.
If what gets challenged?
If anybody's going to challenge the will, and based on the Shtar Chasnitzacher, no one knows where this is going to go.
So that's what the lawyers would. In other words, that is the. The exposure, I guess, that the Shtar Chatzizacher, that's what you're saying. You're saying there's a certain amount of exposure that the Shtar Chatzizacher could force the issue into an out-of-court settlement. That's what you're... right? So what did the lawyer say?
From who?
From...
What's the procedure? What happened? Getting the case. What happened?
The guy goes to court.
They have two situations. Number one, where a guy gives a huge amount of money to Tzedakah, and the kids want to contest it. So they pull out the Shtar Chatzizacher.
What you told me, to me, I think it's very simple. All the kids get together. They say, we're not keeping the will. We're going after you in court. We want you to enforce your $10 million, and we have a sub-agreement that will split it three ways or four ways, and this way we get rid of yeshiva, blah, 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 $1 million. Yeshiva, blah, 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 just that.
Right. Let's say I'm not sure. This is beyond. That has to be discussed with one's lawyer, right? That is there exposure? That I think it's the what I would say is it is the best tool we have to make the will, the American will you want to write, to work al pidin. That's what I would say.
I think some people say that there's a disadvantage of writing the actual beneficiary, the daughter or the spouse, as a name in the slot. Because first of all, if the spouse or daughter predeceases you, then
you have to change it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's if you're competent or able to do that at that point. And there could be other disadvantages, like the collusion point that a opponent's raising. So there are other.
But aren't you far more exposed if you use your third cousin?
No, because then everybody's incentive to follow the rules.
Or if you use the married asset.
If it's somebody who's crazy.
Yeah. Say what?
If it's somebody that's John Smith, then nobody's going to follow that, right?
Nobody's going to
say, okay, I'll pick the document. I don't want.
As long as John Smith, their cousin doesn't know that.
Right.
Right. Okay. Thank you very. Go ahead.
It's totally different kind of question. If you know, let's just say, you know a situation where the kids are going to be mochel. No issues. You're there. Question.
Yeah.
Should you still make sure to do this because you all already have been over in Iser? In order to, and you know, if they're mochel, put it this way, if they're mochel, were you over the Iser? Was that done already? You're over the Iser? Because that happened already. You know, a person died already, and now they're mochel.
Right, so it sounds like.
Is the deceased over the Iser?
So it sounds like, according to Ramban, it sounds like that the deceased was not mekayim the mitzvah of Yakir, right? The Ramban would say it's not a problem. And Right. That's the machlekes Ramban. Rambam would say that that everything is fine. Ramban would say when it was mivatel a deraisa. So that's why
you should do this even not a monetary, not
yeah.
a monetary.
Right. Yeah.
Two quick points. You know, you spoke about Kenya in the file to me, so I can upload it. Actually, I went today this morning to get the shtickle around. It's been mixed up. Mix us, then it needs a Kenyan. If it's not, then it does need a Kenyan. So we were saying before, where was the Kenyan? We have examples of it takes place. There is no Kenyan, but yet the transfer takes place. And also, I was wondering about the different. Didn't we say, I don't remember this clearly, did we say that the reasons make it easy?
Right.
The whole problem is what happens around the
world.
This came up in mentioning by Moses, with the Kenyan. I said, well, there's no Kenyan in the case, but it's expected.
I opened the board right out.
Right.
That's an issue.
So I'll go to the open scan.
I think it happens in the so let's see, if you're saying the second wife has chips, and maybe
That's my other big question. I always want to know why there's no eight.
I keep the thing together. I'll tell you, I'll give you $1,000 stories. You had your own practice. You know what? The lawyer retires. He's sticking the files. There's a flood in your basement. So the document's gone. So keep it together with the lawyer.
Digital stuff is available. They gave a one floor to an attorney who was hiring and didn't have all of his stuff transferred, right? Or get rid of it. So the promise is that you're opening yourself up. So what I did was I'll get you the guy's number. I got a guy, very, very cheap, takes every file I have.
I've got thousands and thousands. I'm not spending that money. It's not happening.
Not on most of it, but once that you need. In other words, you only need to keep on working top file for 7 years. You do a will, or you do a deed, right?
Well, a deed you can get.
So a will. So I scanned all the wills I had.
How you didn't take a part of it?
I'm not taking it.
You didn't take it.
We did a Jersey roll. The first time.
What can he answer about the woman?
That's the problem.